silence in the court. All rise for the honorable judges.
Welcome to Talking Shondaland for the People Edition. I'm Kay.
And I'm Sports.
No Brody this week because I quote, Kate Littlejohn was not in this episode enough. No, that's not true. That's not true. Kate was a very important part of this episode, so the fact that she maybe was less in it did not play a part in why Brody is not here. It's because she has a flu that you may have heard actually last episode, because she had it back then as well, and she's still trying to recover from it.
Kate Littlejohn had the most important line in the episode, though.
She had the line, the title of this episode, which was "You Belong Here." In this episode, written by Zahir McGee and directed by Demaine Davis, which I've seen a lot of hype for this director, for Demaine Davis. Apparently, the story goes that Ava DuVernay is who recommended this director to Tom Verica, and a lot of people seemed very impressed with her, which I understand. It was a great episode with great themes, actually. So I'm glad I got to be introduced to this new director. New for me. I don't mean new as in new to this career. On the docket this week, we're going to do 3 accusations each, bringing us to 6 accusations altogether. Sports, can you tell us your first accusation?
I would like to accuse For the People of having this be the best Leonard episode since the beginning of the series.
Absolutely agree.
This is the episode where I think I started to like him.
Yeah.
I respected his character. But after this episode, I like his character. Because we got to see that he's human.
Yeah.
He always was, to me, was a little bit more robotic than Kate Littlejohn was.
Agreed.
But now we know that part of it, I really think, is a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, when he talked about his college experience after being stopped, and he went back and he talked to his people at school, and he had his best black friend that said, "But you're not really black, you're a sellout, so whatever." And then his white friend, who was mocking and saying, "Well, you survived, so he didn't really belong anywhere," and how that made him feel. And that whole conversation coming up, because he finds out he was given this case for one reason and one reason only.
Yeah.
Color of his skin. Because they wanted to have a black prosecutor going after a black defendant.
For optics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a curse for Leonard, really, trying to fit in, having a hard time fitting in, finding his place. I think his mom, at least, seems very inclined to make him fit in spaces where Leonard doesn't maybe necessarily feel comfortable. I think it's maybe the big struggle of this character, trying to fit in.
You know, and when who is Roger's boss name? What is his name?
I'm not sure.
When he goes up to his office and he says, "I've worked for everything I had." And the other guy says to him, "It's great that you think that, but you're wrong."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like this truth bomb gets blown up in Leonard's face.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see his human side, and he's honest, and that conversation he has with Kate.
Yeah.
He bears his soul to her. I was like, wow. Wow. And then he takes that energy and he just goes to work.
Oh, yes. Him telling Kate, "You don't know me," and her asking him, "Who does?" You know? That was great. I feel like that was something I related with a lot, because I've been seeing Leonard on the screen for a season and a half now, and still I struggle to understand what makes him tick, why he makes the decisions he makes. So it was good to see and be able to relate to some of his struggles and be able to see that he struggles, you know? Because like you mentioned, he came off as a bit robotic. I cannot speak to his experience. I am white. I cannot speak to, you know, being told race matters, but I'm part of the LGBTQ community, and sometimes I like to pretend that it doesn't matter who I'm married to, that doesn't matter, that we should be in a world where we're post-sexuality, and I have to remind myself that it does matter, that every time I speak about my relationship, I'm doing a political statement, and that it's important. And, you know, for my, that's kind of how I related to Leonard. That was my connection to him. And I appreciated, though our experiences are extremely different, race and sexuality are two different things, it is where my little piece of minority, that's how I related to him, you know. So I really appreciated getting the opportunity to relate to this character, honestly. Was very touching for me. So, yeah. I agree with you. This is the best Leonard episode yet. I agree with your accusation. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on when it comes to that?
Nope.
Okay. I would like to accuse the show of exploring the theme of not belonging and rejection. So we have it obviously with Leonard. I think we like to treat any kind of minority or difference as kind of a monolith that has where everyone shares the same experience. But just in this episode with Leonard, with Philip, with Isaiah, with the big boss, whose name I forget, we have the example of four black men who have completely different experiences, who are motivated by completely different things, who act differently, have different ideology, different experiences completely. And I think it's important to remind ourselves of that people who share something that is common do not necessarily share the same experience, the same value, and that sometimes that kind of make us wonder where we belong in this whole thing. So I really appreciated exploring that. We have Jay also in his storyline, kind of Jay saying, you know, I'm a city kid, I can deal with this, I can do this, and kind of struggling when he gets in that environment and struggling to find where and how he can fit into this story. And then meeting this man who's in federal prison and who, he's not pretending to be a lawyer, but who is offering legal services, I suppose, to inmates as well as guards, as we find out, and doubting that man, though it seems that the man had some valid points, you know. And I would think that the experience of being an inmate also makes you wonder how you fit in and makes you work hard to try to fit into society or find a role for yourself. So that was extremely interesting. We see rejection and fitting in with New Ted and Sandra, where Sandra finds a new passion. New Ted tells her, you know, I appreciate seeing you outside of work. And Sandra being very, I don't know, explicit, though she is using kind of covered words to let Ted know that she's not interested in that kind of relationship with him, and him being so cool with it, you know? I don't know. I appreciated seeing that. Though, I don't know. To me, it's very open-ended. I think Sandra and Ted are something we're going to end up seeing and we're going to end up exploring. But it was still good to see him be able to understand what she was saying and stay there for her and help her box. Though he was kind of flirty. Still, whatever. I still like him. I think maybe the most interesting exploration of fitting in is with Phil Kaws, Philip, who is, for all intent and purposes, the bad guy of this episode, the master negotiator, the master manipulator. It was extremely interesting to see his takedown and how affected he was by it, you know? How did you feel about this whole character?
You know, I was watching it, I'm like, I kind of wonder if they modeled him a little bit after Johnny Cochran.
I was wondering that too, because I saw I had Cochran vibes as well.
Not real, I think, is the first thing I think of when I see him. Not genuine. Has bought into his own hype and press.
Yep. Lives the high life. Has all the resources.
Overconfident, arrogant. I mean, when he says, "You look tired, you should get some sleep," to Leonard. I was like, dude, I want you to lose so bad. I was so glad to see him lose.
Me too.
It got to the point where I was less concerned about the guy who would pay off officials and stuff going to jail than I was about seeing him lose.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
And that Alan, whatever his name's character, going to jail was not the win for me. The look on his face when they... Cause's face when the guilty verdicts were read were the win for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answered your question.
I think that's valid, and I felt very similarly. I think what brought it back to the person who was actually being on trial was Leonard's reaction to the verdict and finally understanding what Kate was saying, you know, when she said, "I don't celebrate people going to prison or jail."
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, she was absolutely right. But, you know, Leonard earned that win.
Yeah.
And, you know, having somebody go to jail isn't, obviously, that's not great. You could see the look on the guy's face. Because I think that he started out with good intentions, but he went down a wrong path.
Yeah.
You know, Leonard not being able to go back to work after.
Speaks volume, I think.
It does.
Yeah.
But you were talking about some rejection. So for you Little Bell fans.
Yes. Well, that's my last part. So we go back to Leonard with this because he talks to Kate in the elevator, asks her to go to the noodle place, and she says no. She has work, but then she tells him, "You belong here." So what I'm seeing with Leonard's arc is he went to Texas, he came, he's been struggling to, I think, really come to peace with coming back and understanding where he fit in and being welcomed back by Kate. Her telling him, "You belong here," professionally, though she might not be ready yet to let him in personally, I think was huge.
It was. And the fact that she and Sandra both said no to potential suitors, I think fits right into what you're looking for.
You think they're foreshadowing a little bit? Wait, what? Because I'm being cautious. That's not... You think they're preparing us for Kate and Sandra? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I just... Oh. I think... No. I just, that part was to tease you. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, okay. But though...
What they're doing is they're leaving it open by showing that these two women do not have to be defined by being in a relationship to be awesome.
But why are they mirroring it? Like, why does it have to tug at my heartstring? You know, they're making it so hard not to be full on the Little Bell train. Oh, such good relationship. But I'm not adverse to Sandra and New Ted. Honestly, I think they have a great dynamic. I like him in general. Leonard and Kate, not so much. but Sandra knew. No, Ted.
Because I think that Leonard and Kate are both a little too closed off emotionally for that to be a healthy relationship.
Yeah, I agree.
They're not, neither of them are ready for that.
Yeah. And I think it's extremely meaningful that she tells him, you belong here. I think it's, there is no one, even Roger, if Roger had been the one telling him that, I think Kate saying that is more meaningful than anyone. It's the validation he needs.
Because I think that, if anything, this case took away some of his respect for Roger.
Yeah, probably. Also, you know, when he came back, he told Kate, what if I came back for you? This episode, we see him say, this is why I came back, to go against people like Philip Cause. Kind of shifting in why, shifting the reason why he came, which I think it's everything. It's not just Kate. It's, though she is probably the big part of why he came back. And him at least being validated in that front. You know, professionally, it makes sense that he comes back. He fits in there. At least having that, I think, must be very soothing for him. And it was nice to see. All right, your next point, sports.
I accuse the show of making me sad because Anna DeVere Smith is nowhere in this episode.
Right?
Not a single appearance. And while I loved this episode, I think that when you consider some of the topic, with fitting in where you belong, I would have loved to hear part of her take on that.
I agree.
Because I bet that there is a very interesting story there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you would get it to work with a prosecutor, because she seems to have more one-on-one time with the public defense.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that has to do with the fact that because of who is on duty gets assigned by her, if that's why, and the prosecutor's office assigns prosecutors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If she interacts with them more, I missed her, and I would have loved to have heard her take on that, because in my mind, while Leonard's having that conversation with Kate, I'm hearing her conversation about her America in my head at the time. Almost like I was the poor kid that grew up and this is my America. And now we're hearing from the privileged kid side.
That's true.
Like the two experiences kind of bookend each other.
Yeah. And another thing about fitting in, since you're mentioning Anna DeVere Smith, I think about Jay, where he's presented with an idea of what a law student is, getting all those loans and that debt, and then living with your parents forever, which is a narrative Jay fits. So it was interesting to hear that, and him like being very defensive of that being,
I haven't lived with my parents for like a week.
Yeah, right? I love this show so much. I love it. But I agree. I missed Anna DeVere Smith as well. Every chance we have to put her in and include her more. Oh, she's such a talent, such a force. All right. My next point is I will accuse the show of introducing a new dynamic that kind of shifted where the force lies. Like, I'm thinking we've been presented time and again, we've been shown and told time and again that in the dynamic of the defenders and the government or the prosecutors, it is the prosecutors that have the most resources and the most money, and it is often then who win, and the defenders are kind of the underdog. But when we introduce a big firm, like the firm where Philip works, the government kind of becomes the underdog, the one who that doesn't have the the resources and the interns and or whatever, whoever Philip was using to send all those motions.
That montage was fantastic.
Right? It was wonderful. And, you know, it's all a matter of circumstance. The government is not always the top dog. Against a big firm with so many resources, it is the government that's going to struggle to keep up.
And that has happened in a lot of the lawsuits that for years when the government was fighting tobacco companies, because the tobacco companies had so many, basically unlimited resources, it seemed,
right,
compared to the government resources, that it was very hard to get wins in court.
And I we see that. We see that in law shows where the motions, they will pile on the motions to, you know, make them use all their resources or to make people break down or to discourage people. It happens. And, yeah. It was nice to see. I appreciated seeing the prosecutors as the one who are struggling for once. It was an interesting shift. And them kind of relaying together and working, Kate being with Leonard and working and sharing pizza with while Seth. We also saw Seth working. He wasn't always asleep. We also saw him work on some motions, so it was interesting. It was nice to see them work together.
With their tiny little light over their tiny little desk.
Yeah. Yeah.
While the other team is at elegant restaurants having fancy meals. They kind of set it up as a David versus Goliath thing.
Yes. Absolutely. I like that comparison. Yes. And it was such a power shift that was interesting to see. Give them a little taste of their money with the defense lawyers. Your turn, sports.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about kind of the use of food in this show. I accuse them of using food as a thing.
We've done that before. That's so funny.
Well, I don't know. It's almost like it's a Shondaland thing. Because anybody who's ever watched Grey's knows that there's a ton of food euphemisms for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here, certain things with food defines relationships. Like at the beginning of this episode, where Cause has Leonard go over for pie, and Roger finds out about it. And Roger's mad, but you ate his pie. He's really upset that he went and did that. We had seen a couple episodes ago where when Seth was at Jay's house with him, the way his mother cooked and prepared food. We had the whole donut ritual with the bear claw.
The bear claw, yeah.
The noodle ritual that had been established in season one, but Kate kind of backed off of here and said, no, I have work to do. You know, but didn't go for the noodles.
Yeah.
So they... You know, and showing the elaborate meals of the defense team while the prosecution is coming up with stuff to fight all these motions.
Right.
That they kind of let us know who has affluence and means without actually always talking about money, which I thought was very interesting.
I like that. Remember how Ted threw that bear claw in the trash?
Oh.
His only character
flaw. I don't want, I don't like almonds. Yeah, Ted, there's almonds on a bear claw. Part of having a bear claw with almonds is they put little pieces of almond. You had to have seen it. Don't touch the bear claw.
We're still angry at him for that,
I'm not
guys.
Over the fact that he wasted perfectly good pastry.
Right? Give it to someone else, Ted. Ugh. I bet you old Ted had never done that before. Ugh. So angry. New Ted. okay, my last point is the closing arguments. I don't think I would have foreshadowed that, but it's I would have thought that they would go there, but it was foreshadowed using role models, Leonard, talked about it with Philip. It's clear that Leonard admired this lawyer. He has his own personal journey to deal with that, reconciliating the fact that this man has done some great lawyering, but is not necessarily a great person, and using that in his closing argument to make a parallel with Isaiah and how, you know, Isaiah, yes, he's a self-made man. Yes, he's made great things, but we can't confuse that with great things that have been done by black heroes before. This is not what this is. This is someone who committed a crime, and we have to reconciliate the fact that, yes, this man can be a role model, but he's also someone who broke the law. And it was extremely powerful to me that is the way he went, and it is something also that I think we can easily relate to, because I think we've all been there. I think, well, I have at least, where I meet someone, I have admiration for them, and then I realize that they're human and that they've made mistake, and that that's part of getting to know the people you really see as role models. So I will accuse the show of having a great closing argument that was very relatable.
And, you know, it's interesting. I know that in this case it was talking about a developer, but in a lot of ways we could talk about a lot of entertainment heroes that have fallen because,
yeah,
just recently in the news, two very popular actresses, Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, very popular with their fans, but they broke the law,
yeah,
by bribing officials so that their kids could get into certain schools. And that doesn't take away from the fact that they're both very talented.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they broke the law, and their talent should not excuse their criminal acts.
No.
We've had athletes who are outstanding athletes, but that doesn't make it okay for you to punch your wife or beat your kids.
No.
You know, it doesn't make it okay for you to always get DUIs. It doesn't make it okay if you're a part of a sports team and there's rules against performance-enhancing drugs. Okay, you might have hit 60-whatever home runs in a season, but if you were taking a human growth hormone, you broke the rules.
Right. Agreed.
You know? So, very interesting that, I mean, that speech, it could apply to so much more than just in that courtroom.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's something For the People is doing very well this season, using cases and stories and closing arguments that we can apply to life or that are tied into headlines or even real life circumstance. I feel like this show's doing a great job in general, but regarding that in particular.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a single case that we've listened to this season that I haven't gone, wow, that could apply to so much more than just this case.
Uh-huh. Am I mistaken? Speaking of cases, I guess maybe a bit of speculation regarding next episode. Is the boy, the young man who was accused, have you seen the promo?
I think I did. Remind me.
Okay, so I'm not sure, and I have, though there is a little bell scene that is teased, I have not watched it 10,000 times, so I might be wrong, but the man, Sandra's client, reminded me of the guy who was accused of killing his Tinder date. I'm wondering if it's him who's back, this time in trouble for similar circumstance. And her wondering if maybe he did do something wrong. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So the part of the promo that I remember, though, is that she gets information from a client about another client that could be potentially ethically trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So it could get interesting.
Yeah. And she goes to Kate for advice, and they share a pretzel, and that's a date. But let's not, you know, maybe not.
Don't take my food thing and turn it around now.
But warm pretzels, though? Oh, guys, so good. So good. That's pretty much what I had for points. Is there anything, any accusation you would like to make? Any more accusations? That would be breaking the rules, but still. Brody's not there. We can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. We can do what we want.
Yeah.
No, I really felt, you know, the episodes to me just seem to be so timely and relevant this year. My Friday was crazy. I didn't really get to look at ratings. I'm hoping the ratings were decent. Because mm-hmm. I'm really very hopeful that we're going to get a TGIT block renewal.
Yeah.
Just because I haven't heard tons about pilots being picked up by ABC. Of course, we haven't gotten to upfronts yet. But we came through pilot season, and I didn't hear a lot.
Yeah.
And normally we hear some more. You know, I think that with all the new streaming and everything happening, there's going to be a lot more competition for really good and solid pilots. But I'm very hopeful with the great storytelling we've been getting. You know, I'm not looking for renewal just to get renewal. I'm looking for renewal because we're getting great storytelling, and we're getting, especially for the people this year, and Grace has been very good storytelling for me.
That's good. Lads, yeah, ratings-wise, I don't know how to interpret ratings, but it seems like it's been fairly consistent. Yeah, fairly consistent. Started at 3.07. And then getting up a little, going pretty consistent at 3.07 seems to be what it is. Going a little bit above that, sometimes a little bit below that, but pretty consistent there. So
it's shown against March Madness.
Yeah.
Which is kind of saying a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Because right now, generally, when you look at the top ratings events of the year, the highest ratings almost always now are going to some kind of sporting event.
That's the thing, we don't DVR, right? Or we don't watch later. People want to watch live.
People don't, because that tends to... There's very few ways to avoid hearing about that. You know, we'll use a Super Bowl as an example. You don't just stay away from Twitter to not be spoiled. You can't listen to the radio. You can't watch the news. You can't even go online to Yahoo and read articles because there's banners across the top telling you who won the game. So, you know, it's not one of those things that you can shut yourself off from unless you're going to shut yourself off from everything.
And it's such pop culture reference, all the ads, yeah, and who won, and the halfway the halftime show, all of that. Yeah. Sports in general, I think the Super Bowl the biggest example, but sports in general, I think, is
And live events. You know, the Oscars usually do pretty well. The Oscars probably did their best this year than they have in a while,
right,
without a host. Imagine that.
Right, that's true. Yeah, good point.
Hopefully, they go with that again. Well, because they didn't waste time. They didn't have to do banter. But I think that also with this age of DVR, they look at DVR +3 and +7, I think, to get their final ratings picture for a show. Like, okay, who DVR'd it and then watched it 3 days later? And those numbers go into the ratings.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they revise them. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Because they recognize, okay, people don't just work 9 to 5 anymore. And people, because of DVR, they have favorite shows on different networks. And depending on what's going on, great example is March Madness. If your alma mater is playing Thursday night, you're probably watching that game and DVRing Station 19 and For the People.
Right.
You know, you're going to watch the game live and then go back and watch your shows. And other people who want no part of commercials DVR and watch the next day so that they don't have to do commercials.
Yeah.
With the exception of TGIT and things like This Is Us, unless it's on HBO, Showtime, Stars, or Cinemax, I don't watch a lot of live TV. I watch it the next day so I can take the commercials out, and instead of it taking an hour to watch a show, it takes me 42 minutes.
That makes a lot of sense. And you know there's also people who will wait for a few episodes to be out so they can binge, or even the whole season, because that's how they like to watch that particular show. So the viewing experience is so much different now that immediate ratings should be taken into consideration, of course, but it should play a lesser part, in my opinion, in deciding who gets renewed and who doesn't.
Exactly. And if there's one thing that Netflix has proven to us, since streaming doesn't have a good way of compiling ratings, how they decide to keep shows is very arbitrary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Netflix this year has made several unpopular moves.
Yeah, people are pretty upset with them. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I kind of understand clearing out their Marvel stuff because of Marvel going to be part of Disney streaming. But I don't get the, I mean, I haven't watched One Day at a Time yet. I know I'm a terrible human being. But
terrible.
One Day at a Time is, you know, I've seen the reaction on the internet.
It's an important show for many people.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, but you can't give us ratings information. But I'm seeing so much of my timeline fired up about this. How is somebody not finding a way to save this show?
Yeah, and then there's some networks that are interested, but Netflix don't want to let it go. They don't want to let go the licensing or whatever.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, anyways.
This whole thing with the writers going on with agents and representation, you have to wonder, okay, is moving writer rooms or creating new writer rooms something that's going to be a challenge as well?
I don't know. Anyways, let's get back to For the People. Yeah, no, it's fine. I think it's interesting and it's part of the conversation. I mean, we're waiting for renewal. Will we get it or not? This is all part of it, you know, what's going to happen with it. I think upfronts is where we're going to know about TGIT's lineup. That's usually what it is, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if it was renewed, honestly, just to make TGIT its own thing. We'll see. A note, so the courtroom was referenced to as the arena, which is something Grey's Anatomy's done with the OR. Just wanted to make that parallel. And that's pretty much it for notes for this episode for me. Do you have any?
I don't think there was anything that really, really, other than the storyline, stood out to me. I loved seeing Leonard Cox vulnerable a little bit.
Me as well.
So this is going to sound crazy. Does it make some of his scenes looking back with Seth, does it make him seem less arrogant knowing that he has this vulnerable side? If you were to go back,
yeah,
and watch the one where they're talking about him trying to help get the dates, does it make Leonard less obnoxious about that now?
I think, yes. I think if we were to go back at this point and rewatch season one, I think we would have a different perspective on everything he does. I think knowing that he's someone who struggles with finding his place and understanding where he fits in and we know more of his experience now, I think it would change our perspective on everything. Absolutely. With Seth teasing Seth, though, I'm not too sure. Like, I'm kind of over it, honestly.
They didn't do it too much this episode.
No.
No, they did bring him along to make him look like a seat filler. But, you know, they could have picked somebody else. At least they picked their friend.
It seems like they're fleshing out the other prosecutor as well, whose name I'm forgetting, but with Jay, the prosecutor who was with Jay, they're fleshing her out, so that's nice. I wonder how she'll fit in.
Yeah, I know. She's getting a little more screen time, it seems, every week, huh?
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
There's a reason they're doing that. Something's going to come up somewhere.
There is a reason, yes.
There's going to be an ethical conundrum somewhere before the end of this season, I think, and she's going to be involved.
Very possible. She can name 4 types of balls that are smaller than tennis balls, so we know that about her.
Ping pong, golf, pinball, super ball.
Squash, right? And I'm not sure. I don't know. We don't have petitions to bring before the court, mainly because I forgot to ask for feedback. I only asked 5 minutes before we started recording, so people have not had time to send in feedback. But from what I gather from the internet, people seem to have enjoyed the episode a lot. I've seen a lot of people talk about underestimating Leonard and how it seems to be a mistake that we've seen a few times now, that people should not underestimate Leonard. So, it seems like people responded well to the episode. Did you see similar responses?
Yes. Overall, this entire season, I'm seeing a lot of very positive response. I just wish that there was more people that I follow and stuff that watch Grey's and Station 19 that tweeted about this show and watched this show as well.
Me too.
If there was one thing I would ask for our TGIT fandom, it's give this show a shot.
Yeah, I agree. It's a bit less character-driven, I think, but the cases make it so worth it. I don't know. I really like it. It's a good
show. And this season is a little more character-driven than last season.
Yes, agreed. That is true. Yes. That is true. All right, last verdict for this episode. Sports, you go first.
Really enjoyed it. Love the topic. So we've had a Leonard episode. We've had kind of a Jay episode. Allison has to be next, right?
Allison is the one that's been missing, honestly.
Because she didn't have much in here. I mean, I think the biggest thing she did was make fun of Jay's helmet.
Right.
So we're due for an Allison episode.
A big one, too. Yeah, I agree. And it seems like she has a similar story to Leonard's. It seems like she comes from a place of privilege a little bit. So that it'd be interesting to have them relate to each other more when it comes to that. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about her. So, hopefully we get an Allison episode soon. My God, all the cats are trying to come in the room, people. I'm sorry.
I'm scratching at the door.
Yeah, well, they're all in the room now. All right. So, that's pretty much it. Oh, I didn't make my last verdict. This episode is guilty of making Leonard more three-dimensional and making me care about him a lot more. So I appreciate that a lot. A lot. Yep, great episode. All right, sports. That's pretty much our court adjourned. Where can we find you on the internet?
I am on Twitter, at sportsfan12921. That's where you can find me the most. You can also, if you leave me a message on the Grey's Anatomy After Party or Bar with a View Facebook, if you say something with sports specifically, I will answer that. I know we have an email. I don't go into it. But if you send an email and you want to know something from me, Kay'll forward it to me and I'll answer it.
Absolutely. I will. Our website is coretemparts.com. You can find us on Twitter at Talking Shonda, as well as on TSG Podcast. You can send us a voicemail, a voice note at shondaland@coretemparts.com, a voicemail through the phone using the number 404-500. 8785. We have a Facebook group for Core Temp Arts where people discuss everything from TV shows to music to pop culture, even political news as well. So you're welcome to join. There's conversations about many things that will likely interest you. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere you listen to podcasts. You can leave us a 5-star ratings and review. That's always helpful. And thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to an original Core Temp Arts Network production. To listen to more Core Temp Arts shows, visit coretemparts.com.